Thank you very much. 1 Timothy chapter number 5. 1 Timothy 5. Thank you very much. Please be seated. 1 Timothy 5. You may be seated. Thank you very much. Boy, that's a good song. Thank you very much. All right. Somebody, I want you to think about that song today, and I know some of you, it touched you like it touched me. I can trust the Lord. You can trust the Lord. And one of the things when you're having a difficult time, and that will happen a lot, when you have a challenging time, with new levels come new devils, and many of you are facing new challenges to continue. And you have now left some places of security to come to a place with not a lot of security. You're on your own to some extent. You're in a crowd, but you can be very challenged by things that are happening, overwhelmed by numbers of things. It's not unusual. There's no temptation or trial that's taking you, but such is common. People do this. I think of Brother Rick Martin. He's our missionary in the Philippines. They have about the same number of college students we have here, a little bit less. But those kids come. They have to feed themselves every day. There's no cafeteria. They do their own laundry without a washing machine. They scrub their laundry like this. I've been there. They go soul winning. They have bus routes in areas that they don't have a bus. They go get people and walk them, or they jump on a taxi and bring them to church, or get on a jeepney. And many of them have no support. They've been rejected by their parents when they left, and they go out and work in the afternoon after they finish school to get enough money to feed themselves on that day. And they're oftentimes they're sharing rice, they're sharing a piece of fish with their loved ones. There are they're just simple people doing a great work, and they have pressure too. They have pressure. You have pressure. The people who've come before you have pressure. People who come next year will have pressure. But you can trust the Lord Jesus. He will never leave you nor forsake you. He is the I am, not just I was. He is I am. And when you're having a difficult time, Psalms 116 tells us, I believe, therefore have I spoken. Say that with me. I believe, therefore have I spoken. That means to verbalize your faith and to say, I can trust you, Lord. Very important. Say, Pastor, what's the big deal? I trust him in my heart. Well, what about this? With the heart, man believeth unto righteousness, and with the... That's how we got saved, right? We got saved by believing in our heart and confessing with our mouth. We verbalized our faith by our lips. And the same is true when you're working. The just shall live by faith, and faith needs to be verbalized. And when you're in the pressure cooker of life, say to the Lord, Lord, I trust you. I need you, and I trust you to help me today. I have been working through problems with people since I woke up this morning, and communicating with people in different states and different texts, and some with marriages and things of that nature. And a lot of times I will text people, trust the Lord. Trust him. But you don't understand. I said, trust the Lord. I don't have to understand. He oversees everything. We can trust him. And you can trust him in the difficult times of life. Regardless of what happens, he is worthy. And I love that song. I love the truth. I love you. And I'm very glad I can be with you today and to share with you a few more principles. We're going to try to wrap up in the first part of this semester the completed study of the book of 1 Timothy. 6 principles that will guide and help us in the future in the book of 1 Timothy. Does anybody know the key verse in 1 Timothy? Anybody know the key verse? It's in chapter 3. What verse is it? Anybody know? Yes, ma'am, in the back. 15. If you said 16, I'm sorry, but 15 is right. Did you say 15? Okay, it's 15. And let's look at it real quickly. Look at verse 15, chapter 3 and verse 15, and let's nail this one down real quickly, and then I want to share with you a few principles I think that are very exciting and very helpful and edifying to us today. Let's read verse 15 together of 1 Timothy. Are you ready? Here we go. Ready? But if I tarry long, that thou mayest know in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, God has chosen to work His work today through and in the local church. Every Christian in the stable is going to be have three stools that he leans on. Number one, God's Word. Number two, God's Spirit. Number three, God's body. Okay? Every successful child of God is going to be responsive to the Word of God. He's going to be diligent about the Scriptures. Number two, he is going to be sensitive to the Holy Spirit, and he's going to be involved in the work of God. And the work of God is being done in this age through the local church. Paul tells Timothy, if I don't get to where you are soon, I'm writing you this book so you will know how to behave yourself as a servant of God in the church of God, which is the pillar and ground of what? Truth. And so young people, that all of us have that in common. One of the reasons we're here at Hiles Anderson College is because of a local church. Every one of you who got saved in part because how God used a local church. Even if you got saved by listening to the radio of a parachurch organization, they were supported by somebody who went to church, almost guaranteed. Every one of us got saved and got influenced by a local church. And you ought to love the church, you ought to go to church, you ought to be faithful to the house of God. You should never criticize the church, you should love it because it is the body of Christ. Now the church is the problem, here's the problem. The God's Word, perfect. God's Spirit, holy. God's church, not. It's because I go there, and you go there. If you ever find a perfect church, don't join it, you'll mess it up. Okay, you can't go to a perfect church. Church has people in it. People are sinners innately. They have issues. They have problems. Pastors have problems. Pastor wives have problems. Pastors' kids have problems. Deacons have problems. Deacons' wives. Bus workers have problems. Everybody is a sinful human being. But it is still God's plan for us to operate within the local church. And in chapter 1 of 1 Timothy says, number 1, here's how you behave yourself in the local church. Number one, you keep your doctrine. Keep your doctrine sound. Stay true to the Word of God. Young people, study in your classes. Ask questions. Evaluate why you believe what you believe. Buy the book in the bookstore called Answers. And when you have a question, go there and find some answers. It'll point you to the Word of God. Ask yourself, why do I believe in eternal security? If you don't know, find that out. Don't wait till you're a senior. Don't wait till you're a graduate student. Don't wait till you're hired somewhere and someone says, give me three verses on eternal security. You ought to be able to pump those out quickly. Don't wait till your ordination to start studying the Bible. Decide, need to know what the Bible says today and keep studying. And make sure your doctrine is sound. If you know the truth will make you free from hang-ups and from false doctrine so that you're not caught up by every little story and every little fable and every little question and every wind of doctrine that comes across Christianity. The problem with Christianity, one of the issues you'll have, is not everything that glitters is gold. And not everyone who speaks is pure. There are victims and there are villains within Christianity. There are people who say things that are not true to the Word of God. And you'll need to know what you know in order to diffuse questionable things. And it's very important. Keep your doctrine sound. Number two, chapter two talks about prayer, and our walk with God should be our first thing. Have you walked with the Lord today? Have you talked to God today already? Have you even said anything to Him today? It's not uncommon for us to make it to 11 o'clock chapel service and not have spoken to the Lord. That happens sometimes. It's not right. It's sinful. It's shameful. It is a heartbreak looking for a place to happen. But you need to decide early on in your day, you're going to address the Lord. You're going to talk to Him. You're going to let Him talk to you. And especially before you go to bed at night. Sometimes you might wake up. You might get in from work at 1:30 in the morning or have to get something taken care of before you get to bed. And you're tired and you wake up and you hear that alarm clock go off and you've just got a few minutes to get ready and get to your 8 o'clock class, and you may miss your time with the Lord. That happens. That happens to me. It's happened to me. But I know when I go to bed at night, I know if I spent time with the Lord. That's the time I can make up. And don't beat yourself up if you do oversleep. Realize you're a human being. At the same time, go back and say, Lord, I overslept, but I'm not going to let the rest of the day go by without spending time with you. I need you. And I want to walk with you. And I'm sorry I overslept, but Lord, please help me. And I think, don't make that a habit, but that happens. Don't beat yourself up. Just find God and get with him. Make an appointment. Take the time and say, when your friends say, hey, let's go play some basketball in the gym. Let's go play some volleyball. Let's go work out. And you haven't had your time with the Lord, you need to say, hang on a second, I would love to, but I've got someone I've got to talk to. Find a way to get that done. It's your quiet time alone that gives you power to obey. I need it, you need it. It's just, there's no blowouts in the Christian life, just slow leaks because people fail to walk with Jesus. Keep it real between you and the Lord. Make it a priority. Chapter 3 is spiritual reproduction. That is now. Now I have grown from doctrinal soundness, that's a priority, and my walk with the Lord. But from our walk with the Lord, we're going to want others to know the Lord Jesus Christ. And those who are saved will want to disciple them and spend time with them. And it's very, very important that you do that because there's no success without successors. Would you say that with me? No success without? Continue reproducing yourself. Say, you know what, who does God want me to keep helping them grow in Jesus? Got a call yesterday. I was vacuuming my car out, and when I was vacuuming the car, my phone rang, and I called. I answered the phone. His name is Burke Banner. Burke and his wife, Garrett. Garrett was raised in a Jehovah's Witness home, and Linda and I went over to their home one night after several weeks of them coming. And talking to them, I said, could I come see you at your home? And they said, okay. Her Jehovah's Witness mother lived with her, and she was very much against me talking to Garrett. But we worked out a time we could come, and I went over there, shared the gospel. Linda and I sat with them at their kitchen table, and both of them accepted Jesus Christ as their Savior. Then their son, CJ, got saved, and we're so grateful for that. And their other son trusted Jesus Christ as his Savior, Sean. And now they just call and say, Pastor, I'm on my way to a parts house. He's a mechanic for a diesel truck company in our area there in Long Beach. And he just called me and said, I'm on my way getting a part. He goes, I just miss you, Pastor. I just want to call you and tell you thank you for coming to my house. Thank you for loving Garrett and me. And thank you for showing us how we've had our ups and downs, but you've been faithful. Thank you for not forgetting us and letting us know about Jesus. Our lives are so much better now because of your input in our life. And you know, I think about that. That makes me happy now that I have reproduced a Christian, the fruit of a Christian is another Christian. And it's the grace of God. And I love what Brother Joey said, Brother Rob said, it's not because of us, but there is joy on a hard day when you find someone that you personally led to Christ. You helped them. I remember going to their house and discipling with them. And you see them grow in Jesus. And you help. It helps you. It gives you a special joy. So spiritually reproduce yourself. Identify others who will be leaders. So win, baptize, disciple, train. It's a four-step process that just keeps going on. Tonight, Brother Douglas, and of course, in addition to overseeing our college, has Hammond Bible Institute, which is something God used him to get started for our church and maintain. And two of our men tonight are going to preach at the chapel of the Bible Institute. Two men who got saved. One of them got saved here, the other one was saved before he came. But they grew in the Lord, and they're growing, and now they're preaching in jails and preaching in nursing homes and different things. And Brother Douglas has asked them to do it. And I'm sure tonight when he sits in there, are you going to be there tonight? He's going to be sitting there and excited about seeing the reproduction that takes place. And that's in the fourth level of training. And each of those men have already been discipled. They've gone through all the lessons. And now they're in training to learn how to do the same thing also. One of those men texted me and said, Pastor, a church has called me and asking to meet with me in a few weeks. They want to know if I'll be their pastor. What a blessing. Now to take the next step of possibly overseeing a flock with God. That'll bring you joy. Chapter 4. Chapter 1, keep your doctrine sound. Keep prayer and your walk with God, eh? Chapter 3, spiritual. Chapter 4, be a godly example. And your sermons whisper, your witness whisper, but your life, it's loud. And boy, keep a good testimony before your community. Pay your bills on time. If you're late, Go talk to them. If you're late in your school bill here, go talk to Brother Malucci. Don't make him call you in. You call him. Go see him. If you've got an issue or you owe someone some money, don't make them avoid you and don't avoid them. Go talk to them. Do what you can and take care of those things. Why? Because it's your reputation. It's your reputation. If you lied to someone, go back and say, I lied. I didn't tell the truth on that. I didn't say what really happened. Fix those things. Be a good testimony. Let the Word of God help you be an instruction in righteousness. Then, chapter 5 is the treatment of God's people. We'll go there today. Chapter 6 is learning to manage finances with wisdom. With that in mind, today we're in chapter 5, and it's the treatment of God's people, learning to treat people right. I believe I talked to a man recently who could right now be a pastor of a vibrant church. But he is crippled, not by doctrine, not by financial mismanagement, not by necessarily even his testimony, but though that plays into a little bit. But he's crippled by the way he treats people, by how he treats his brothers and sisters in Christ. He's just sharp with them. He's quick. His tongue is very sharp and very sarcastic. He has hurt his children. He has hurt his wife, his family, and his ministry because of his treatment of other people. And that will cripple you. That will hamstring you in your effectiveness of leading people with God. Now let me tell you, love is not feeling right about someone. I don't feel right about everybody I deal with. You don't feel right about everybody you deal with. Love is not feeling right about them. It's just making a decision to treat them right. Not feeling right, but treating them right. The Lord Jesus showed us that as an example. And here, the Apostle Paul says to Timothy, I'm going to ask you to command these things, teach these things, and live these things. Treat people correctly. Our time is going quickly, but here's a few things. Let's look real quickly at chapter 5, verse number 1. Rebuke not an elder, but entreat him as a father, and younger men as brethren, and elder women as mothers, and younger women as sisters with all purity. Honor widows that are widows indeed. And if any widow have children or a nephew, let them learn first to show piety at home, to requite their parents, and for good, and this is good and acceptable before God. With this in mind, I want to tell you, treatment of people revolves around two things. I'd like for you to say them back with me. Number one is relationships. Number two is responsibility. Two R's, help me with that. Number one, relationships. Number two, the ministry for Jesus Christ in the local church will revolve around your ability to relate with other people. Relationships are a necessity. Brother Toole said the other day, and by thank you for encouraging his heart, he came back to me after he spoke on Thursday. He said, Pastor, I could not be more impressed with the college young people. What a spirit. God's hand is upon those young people. And thank you for encouraging him. It was great to hear him say that. But I heard him say the other day, you have heard the pastor say, the ministry would be wonderful if it weren't for people. But the truth of the matter is, that ministry work is people work. It is relationships. So, relationships and responsibilities are two key words in 1 Timothy chapter 5. And I want you to understand, here I've shared with you relationships. By the way, you want to be a good husband. You want to be a good wife, girls. You want to be a good mom. It breaks my heart when I find that kids have a hard time with a relationship with their parents. The devil laughs all the way to hell's bank. But you have to work on that relationship with your parents. You have to work in a relationship with your children in time, your brothers, your sisters. It has to be something that you have to put the work in. Lots of room for drama. Lots of room for challenges. But relationships and responsibility. With that in mind, I want to just give you a few responsibilities from chapter 5. Number one, our first responsibility is to respect our fellow servants. Look, if you would please, at verses 1 and 2. You can see it there. Treat the older men. Rebuke not an elder. You're an older brother or sister. Rebuke them not, but entreat them as a father, as a mother, as a brother, as a sister. So my first responsibility in my relationships is to make sure that I respect my fellow servants of Christ, because they're not my servants. They're His. I'm not their master. God is. And learning to do that. When you get angry, don't get on an email and start sending out an email about how frustrated you are. When you're angry, do not text. If you're angry, the Bible tells us in James chapter 1, verse 20, the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. When I'm angry, when you're angry, and I get angry, you get angry, we will not do the right thing. We will not type the right message. We will not type the right text. We'll not respond in the right way. When you're angry, the Bible says, be swift to hear, slow to, and slow to wrath. Because the wrath of man will not do the righteousness of God. And when I don't do the right thing, it complicates my life and others. So I've got to learn to respect my fellow servants of Christ. Respect their gifts, respect their weaknesses, respect who they are, their position. Sometimes you cannot respect their person, but you can respect their position. Sometimes you can see chinks in their armor, and if you look at me and I look at you and you look at the men on the platform or the faculty and the staff, you look at your bus captain, you're going to find issues because you're serving with human beings. But when you go around playing the blame game, you're going to have yourself some trouble, and you need to treat them with respect. Treat the singles with respect, treat the married with respect, the old, the young, the brothers, the sisters, you must learn to treat them with respect. Number one, respect your fellow servants. Number two, requite your aging parents. Requite, and that means to pay them back or to care for them in the aging process, because they pay them back for what they did for you in your early days. And I've already dealt with that last week. I won't go into that, but I think everybody ought to have a conversation with your future mate about how you're going to handle your mom or their dad in the senior years of life. How are you going to face that? Because God tells us very clearly. Let's look at the verses quickly. Verse number 4, it speaks directly to that. But if a widow have children or a nephew, let them learn first to show what? What is piety? Kindness. Spirituality, someone's very pious, that means they're pretending to be spiritual or holy. He said, show the holiness in your house. Take care of your aging widow or your aunt or your mom or your dad. That's how you'll show out Christianity, by caring for your aging family members. Look, if you would please, at verse number 8, would you? And read it out loud with me. But if any provide not, very good. He's pretty powerful on that, pretty strong on that. He says, if a guy doesn't care for his own aging parents, his own aging widow or aunt, when he could, and he makes the church do that, he's denied his faith and is worse than an infidel or an atheist. That's pretty strong terminology. Look at the next verse that tells about that, verse 16. Read it with me, if you would, please. Let me have just the men read it. Men, ready? If any man... Okay, so we find two things for sure. Number one, respect my fellow servants. Number two, in treatment of God's people, is to requite my aging family members. As they're older, love them, care for them. It will not be a walk in the park. It will not be easy. There will be challenges. You can't walk as fast. You can't go places as quickly. You can't eat as fast. You cannot push them. You may have to have one of you or your spouse step down from a position of leadership in order to care for them. There's lots of challenges. It'll hurt you financially. But it's spiritual, and treatment of God's people, and it's a responsibility, I believe, is very clear. I'll give you one more real quickly, and we'll close with this. Is that he said, Timothy, I want you to remind the ladies who will eventually be widows of their responsibility for sobriety and spirituality. Most ladies do not think about being a widow. But here in the scriptures, he said, listen, a lady who deserves help from the church needs to have already done some certain things. Let's look at those things real quickly. Verse number 5 and 7. The Bible tells us, verse number 5, Now she that is a widow indeed and desolate trusteth in God. Number one, they trust in God. They continue in supplication and prayers. How often? He said there are people who pray and those people who have faith in God. But she that liveth in pleasure is dead while she liveth. She can't be living for herself all of her life and then at the aged time expect the church to handle her and help her do things she needs done. These things give in charge that they be blameless. They should have a good testimony. Look, if you would please, at verse number 10. These women should be well reported of for good works. If they be brought up children, if they've raised children, if they've lodged strangers, they've opened their home to help other people, other Christians in particular. If they've washed the saints' feet, they've served others. If they've relieved the afflicted, they found someone who was hurting and comforted them. And if she hath diligently followed every good work. He said, I want you to tell the ladies of the church who are married ladies, who are not yet widows yet, or who are new widows, that they have responsibility to be sober and spiritual where they are so that they can be deserving of help when the time comes. Verse number 10 tells us that. Now, so those are the three things I'll give to you today, and let's review them real quickly. Number one, I should respect my fellow servants. Are you a respectful person? Do your response to each other, is it respectful? If it's not, that's a responsibility. I should requite my aging parents and family members. I need to pay them back. I need to evaluate what my role will be in their future if they need me. I want to help them. I do not want the church having to take care of something that is my responsibility. We're talking about relationships and responsibilities. Number three, he said, Timothy, remind the younger ladies who are not yet widows or recent widows that they have responsibilities for sobriety and spirituality. And these are some principles. There are about four or five more that I will share with you another time. I hope you'll find them and we'll rehearse that later on. Let's pray together. Father, thank